Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Wow.
Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCameron today. This is the morning show. Devin Caney is here. John Ritchie is here. Richie Rich.
Tom Kelly is crazy. Did you
crazy?
Hear, did you hear how long Tom let that breathe?
Isn't that what Joe does?
Yeah, I did, but no. So I just realized during that little 5 to 10 second moment that Joe jumps in really quickly.
There you go,
Devin. I thought that Joe waited till it got to that specific point. That's exactly why I did that.
Joe,
I wasn't being lazy
Joe
or anything.
Joe does not wait. Joe waits for no one, including the intro music.
Joe DeCamera waits for no man.
So you actually gave that some poignancy, some pregnancy, the pause itself.
I was letting it breathe a little
bit.
I'm not saying, you should do that.
What's that called, the post? I was waiting for it to get to the post.
I don't know.
Well, I guess
you're
if
a
we're
music
talking,
guy, you should know.
If we're talking, well, I don't know. I mean, are you talking basketball also? Like,
no, I thought that's post? A.
I thought I wasn't thinking music. I think you're standing there. You're the five. You're standing there with your hand up, hoping they throw you the ball when you're standing in the paint.
I thought there was the post was a part of the song where you wait to hit, but maybe perhaps I'm wrong.
Tom is definitely not the five.
Yeah, perhaps I'm wrong in that terminology.
Tom's experience as the five ended. Long, long ago?
Yeah, and I don't think it ever began.
No.
I don't think it ever began.
Well, I have limited experience as a five. I'm not tall either. You know, like, I'm not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm right there with you. It's not that I was good. You played basketball?
Like, intramurals when I was a kid.
Good for
I played
you.
High school or anything
All right.
like that.
Okay. Well, I like that you stipulate that. Because,
yeah.
You know, the guy that normally is talking is... He does not stipulate such things. He would say, yeah, I played baseball, and, you know, I can beat anyone. I'm better than you or anyone that you put in front of me, despite the fact that I played only through middle school.
Yeah.
Like, that normally prevents someone from feeling confidence in their abilities in a sport, but Joe normally shines through with his overwhelming confidence and his middle school ability as a baseball guy.
I'm not going to embellish my intramural basketball accomplishments. So, yeah.
Good, you had him. Intramural basketball is a tough sport. Did you ever wonder why the dollar sign is like an S with a
what a segue
thing through it?
Very natural, John. Never thought of it. Why?
I've wondered. I've often wondered, and no one knows for sure. But the theory that leads the group is that symbol, the dollar sign symbol, is an amalgamation, a combination of the letters P and S that once upon a time, like even in the 1800s in the U.S., the 1700s and the 1800s, the peso was the main monetary unit in the United States, the peso. And so when they would write peso, they would write PS, and then that PS started overlapping, and then that PS, once it was completely overlapped, looked kind of like the S with the lines through it that became the dollar sign.
Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it really
is. I did not know the peso was such a big part of American currency history.
Indeed it is, Tom.
So there you go. Well, thank you, John. A big show planned for today. A lot of stuff to get into, but where we'll start today, guys. Phillies win last night. They get a hard-earned 2-1 win in Miami. Christopher Sanchez, 8 innings. The outstanding performance from him. Orion Kerkering comes on, closes the game out. Phils go down. They do what they're supposed to do in Miami. I mean, let's be honest. They take 3 of 4. But the main – that's like the appetizer for the main course, which is this weekend.
Mm.
Because for the first time since – I mean, last year in Game 2, the Mets come to Citizens Bank Park. We all know what happened in the playoffs last year. We all know what happened in New York earlier on this season. And I know that you look at a series and you look at the season, 162 games, all that stuff. But – I think this is a critically important series for the Phillies. I think this is a series that you're going against the Mets. This is a team that owned you the back half of last year. They obviously embarrassed you in the playoffs. They swept you in New York earlier on this season. I know it's only three games. Mets lost last night. These teams tied atop the NL East right now. But I think this is a series the Phillies need to win. I think they need to win this series this weekend. I think not just from a standings perspective, but from a confidence perspective, this is really important. What do you think, John? Do you think this is,
absolutely,
even though
important,
in late June, a must-win series, though? Must-win series for the Phillies.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. I love the zest. I mean, I love the zest. It's not must-win. I love the zest. I love the fact that we are establishing a real, I don't know, baseline for belief right now. And that's not normally the case, I guess. We get thrown off the course of, you know, belief in our team, of, you know, rallying with some of the twists and turns, the bumps and the bruises. Like, we normally will just say, okay, Trey Turner sucks now. And I don't know, this team feels like we're riding with it a little bit better than we normally would, because we know that the talent's there. And we know that we are, if we're within striking distance, we can set ourselves up with positions like we are now in, where we are 8 of the last 10. We've won. We're feeling pretty good about ourselves. I feel especially good about our starting pitching, especially the left-handedness of it all. Being a left-hander myself, I love the fact that you got Sanchez. What we saw last night from Sanchez, unbelievable.
Outrageous.
Ranger the night before. And then before that, holy cow, we got Luzardo. I forgot almost that Luzardo was the lefty I was excited about, because it's been so long since I felt that same level of excitement about his performances, because they've sort of dovetailed a little bit. But the point is, we've got lefties for days, and they can pitch, and they can scare people. And then we've got more starters than we know what to do with on top of that. That's exciting to me. I feel like the Mets, on the other hand, aren't feeling themselves right now. They've lost five in a row. Six in a row. They're not smelling themselves, because they suck lately, and that's great for us, because we have a chance to really put a thumping on them. Lay them down, put them down, keep them down, stomp on them when they're down. That's what good teams do.
Yeah, the Mets had a terrible week. They had a terrible series. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494 is how you get in. Do you think the Phillies need to win this series? And I think so for a few reasons. I think, obviously, as we laid out, the history at the Mets over the past year or so. But I think you need to make a statement. And also, I think with everything that's happened this week, because we all know this has been somewhat of a tumultuous week for this team with the whole Nick Castellanos situation. Mm. He's pulled out Monday, sat down Tuesday, makes the catch on Wednesday night. I feel like there are moments throughout the course of baseball season where you look back and you remember. And I think we could remember this one as, like, remember that week where Castellanos gets sat down in Miami. Phillies come back, they win 3 of 4. Then they came home, yeah, and they beat the Mets in 2 or 3, or swept the Mets.
I think we're definitely at
a
flash
huge
point. Like, this is, like what you're talking about, this is one of those moments that could go either way. And I felt like the Castellanos thing, holy cow, did we escape that unscathed? And if we did, wow, good for this team. That's some leadership. Because I don't know that Rob Thompson did the strong enough thing in the way that was handled. I think winning might have helped pull us through that whole thing. And I know that winning this series will put that in the rearview mirror for good.
And I feel right. I feel like even more than winning that series in Miami, if you can carry over that momentum now and you can come home and you can beat the Mets, I think we can really look at that moment. And we'll talk about, you know, Rob Thompson's handling of it and whether he handled it properly. But it does feel like, regardless of that, you come home, you beat the Mets this weekend, it feels like it could be a real launching off point for this team. And not like they needed a season restart, but I do feel like they needed some energy. They needed something,
yeah,
to wake them up.
No,
and I think that's
absolutely
what this
and
week
there
could be.
There was a real roadblock. There was a real bump in the middle of the road, an obvious deterrent, something that would shake us from our path, you know, the straight and narrow, the easiest path, the straight course to a championship, that is in our plate. You know, that's in front of us. We have to figure out a way to get around it. I know that this team has the talent to do it, but sometimes you need a little extra oomph. Sometimes you need a little extra help. Feeling the Mets, the power of the Mets, this Mets team with the talent that they have, if we can put them down and keep them down, that does go a long way towards boosting the confidence and keeping the confidence at an all-time high.
Absolutely.
We need to taste dominance on the diamond, and I know that this team can do that. I'm excited, especially because we're starting the series with Zach Wheeler.
Oh, man.
We're starting
awesome
the series
tonight.
With our
starting
best
with Zach
forward.
Wheeler, and then it's a really big spot for Mick Abel and Jesus Luzardo, who has been, Richie, you mentioned, like, he's been good, yeah. But through his last four starts, he's had one good one, like one solid yeah. start. And I don't know if he's still tipping or what, but I mean, it's a big
Is
spot.
Possible?
And like, you look at Mick Abel for tomorrow's game, like, I don't know if he's been in this large of a or big of a.
Well, he hasn't.
Situation. I mean, I know your first MLB game is probably a big deal, but like you're tied for first place. Like, I would say this is a must-win series, and I don't like saying that in the regular season, but it literally is when you look at the National League East, like their standings. Like they're literally going to be battling for first place through the weekend, and. Yeah. It's going to be a really good litmus test to see, you know, where this Phillies team is at.
And you look at this, too. I mean, from a standings perspective here, obviously, it's rare the teams finish tied at the end of the year, even though the Mets and Braves did last year. You're already 0-3 against the Mets this season. So
right.
You need to at least make up some of that ground. Even if you win 2-3, you're in good shape. But if you lose 2-3 this weekend, It's Wait. Very unlikely that you're going to end up winning any sort of tiebreaker with them if you get to the end of the year and you're tied for the lead in the NL East.
You sound like you don't have much confidence.
No,
If we lose 2-3 this weekend, that's
why it's a must win, John. They need to win the series.
That's such a foreign concept to me. Yeah, look, that is a foreign concept, the way we're playing, the way they're playing. I feel so good about tonight, about the way that we'll play with Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler. Taking the mound, leading the way.
I know we'll put
our best foot forward, and then that'll lead the way right into a really – look, Mick Abel, this is absolutely the biggest spot he's ever been in, but all we've seen is this guy go out there and beat steel ice water through his veins. That's the great – that's going to be awesome to watch. And I can't wait to see the way this team puts it on someone who really is a
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Quality opponent.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yes, it is that time of the week, and it is a big weekend to come with the Mets in town. It's time for a Fransky Friday. Scott Fransky joining us, sponsored by Morgan and Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, how you doing today?
Scott.
Well, I'm doing all right. No power, no phone, no internet.
Oh.
Yeah. Sitting in a parking lot right now just so I can call you guys.
Well, we appreciate it, Scott. Scott, you know, I'm kind of curious because we kind of bantered this around all week long. So allow me to long talk for just a minute. What do you make of the Castellanos benching, the whole thing with that, and then him starting the next night?
Well... I don't know what was said.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't, you know, I mean, I just know if Rob felt it was to the level, if it rose to that level, I don't think he would do it. From what I can gather is he really contemplated it, you know, thoughtfully.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not like he came off the field and that night he said, all right, well, you're going to be benched tomorrow. I mean, they talked about it that night and they, you know, he went back and he thought about it and he, you know, obviously thought it rose to that level. So, I think Rob has done a pretty good job of managing some pretty big personalities in that clubhouse over the years, and so I'd like to think he knows what he's doing there.
So, Scott, now a couple interesting things from this, because it all turned out okay, right? The next night he makes the catch, they win the game, and it's kind of, you know, everyone's talking about water under the bridge. I'm curious where this goes from here. So, we know he left him in the field late in the game since then, but now, you know, the seal is broken. You know, they will take him off the field, at least that's a thought, that he could take him off the field late in the game. When do you, and I think I heard you ask the other day, is there a... let's call it a formula, right? Is there a moment where you know it's the right thing? Is it a one-run lead, two? And I don't think that Topper is going to unveil what it is, but how do you think this goes now? Because clearly they have a better all-defense outfield that doesn't include Nick, and they kind of told us that the other night, yet he was still on the field after that. I'm just wondering how this goes as the games get bigger and the stakes get higher here.
I think we're going to see it more often. I really do. I don't think it will be an every game thing. And like, you know, like you mentioned, there's not an exact science to it or a specific formula, but some of it, you know, it's where did he bat in the eighth inning? Did the Phillies just clear his spot in the order, for instance? Is he going to bat again? Is it a one run game and you're worried about, going extras? Is your bullpen short, right? Are you trying to win it right then? Can you play the long game if your bullpen's a little short or whatever? I do think we're going to see it. I think we'll see more of it because I know it's something that, you know, he's talked about and contemplated for a while. I think everybody understands that, there's an upgrade defensively in the outfield, and that's to put Rojas out there, move Marsh to left, which is an upgrade in terms of using Marsh. Kepler, would be an upgrade over Castellanos in right. And again, I think this comes down to Nick. I mean, Nick loves to play. Nick wants to be out there for every single inning, but he also has to understand what's best for the team, and there will be nights when it's best for the team for him to, you know, spend the last half inning or inning and a half on the bench and to have a better defensive outfield.
Scott Fransky with us. Scott, I'm going to ask you kind of a big picture question. Your years covering baseball, obviously Castellanos is the subject this week. I saw a story that Nick had asked the Phillies now, after all this, to show him some of the defensive metrics, to let him see the data that they see. Scott, do you think players, because I have a theory that players that maybe are losing range don't know it like we know it, or maybe they don't want to believe it. I think it's one thing if they're making errors, that's obvious, like they know I made a mistake. I'm just curious, and I wonder if Nick Castellanos before this week knew, like does he know that all the numbers are saying he's losing steps out there and maybe they got to do this? What do you think players know when they're losing range, or do you think that's something they have to be explicitly told, like this isn't going the way we need it to go?
I think most of them probably get it as they get older. I can't speak to Casty specifically on that. But I think most players, whether they want to publicly acknowledge it or not, is a different story. But I think privately, I mean, they know when their swing is getting slower. They feel it, right? They get beat by pitches that they didn't used to get beat by. And the same applies defensively, or the same applies for a pitcher, you know, who doesn't have the same velo or doesn't have the same break or doesn't have the same command or whatever. They understand it. Now, whether they want to publicly, you know, acknowledge it or not is another story. And I don't think they necessarily have to. But it's good to have some awareness. You know, as Charlie Manuel used to say, know thyself.
Yeah, that helps.
I think it's fine that Nick wants to learn more about it. That's great. Rob kind of joked about it yesterday. He said, look, I should probably get those packets too and learn more about it because I don't use them. He doesn't use really. He knows generally what they are and what they say, but he watches the game and he uses his eyes to tell him who's got more range than the other guy. And I think if you're watching every game, every night, every play like he is, you have a pretty good sense on when a guy's losing a step.
I would think so, too. All right, Scott. Well, Castellanos should be out there tonight, as all the Phillies are, with Zach Wheeler. And it's a big series. Scott, how do you frame how big you think this series is? I mean, we all realize it's still June. I mean, whatever happens this weekend, there's a lot of baseball to go, and they'll play each other again. It does feel to me like a bigger one than normal, though, Scott, because the Mets seem to have had the Phillies number for about a year now. It feels like they just keep getting the best of the Phillies, and I want to see that turn around. Like, that's just from my fan perspective. Scott, how big do you think this weekend is, all things considered?
I think it's a bigger than normal series. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, anytime you play within your division, and certainly anytime you play the team that's co-leading the division with you, it's a big series. From a mental standpoint, I don't think it hurts at all to say, you know, I think it would do maybe, I'm trying to see how to phrase this. It would maybe do more harm than good, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get beat up again, right, then like what happened in April, then they think to them, you know, then all the old ghosts come in. If they win two out of three, or if they play really well and, you know, battle and fight and you know, win the series, it's good, but I don't know that it carries them. You know what I mean? I think it's more a downside than anything else. If you don't play well, then again, all those old thoughts start to creep into the back of your head, just like we were talking about a minute ago. Did I lose range? Have I lost bat speed? Did I lose a step? Have we lost a step as a team, you know, with our chief rivals in the division? So I think it's important that they play well and they show well. I think they have the pitching matchups they like. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They have Wheeler going in game one. I think that's great. And should be fun. Should be an unbelievable weekend, I hope.
So, Scott, is there any chance that we might see Bryce Harper this weekend?
I don't think so. You never know. It does sound like it's going to be sort of a show and go, if you will. Like, mm-hmm. Bryce tries it out. Dry swings yesterday. He swings off the tee. If that goes well, maybe he swings, you know, get some live pitching to see. But I think it's probably unlikely that it's this weekend. But, you know, he's the showman. And I know the narrative can be out there that, you know, with three games coming up on national TV, maybe he wants to jump back onto the stage. But I would think Houston's a more likely possibility.
Yeah, nothing would surprise me, but I tend to understand what you're saying there. All right, last one for you, Scott. Is Orion Kirkering the closer now? I mean, it never seems like we have a closer, and it always kind of goes back and forth in matchups, but I did think this was interesting this week. He closed some games, and then they went back to him last night. Do you think he's the ninth inning guy, or is it still just a mix and it's just his week?
Yeah, no, I think he's just number one on the trust tree, if you will. Because, you know, last night he was warming up in the eighth, and he's still the favored reliever if there's a situation to put out a fire. And that might be in the seventh, it might be in the eighth, he might close in the ninth. But I do think that moment that he sees as biggest in the game, that's where Kirkering will be used. And last night there was a chance it might come up, you know, one-run game, somebody gets on, situation develops in the eighth. They were getting him ready for that. And if that was the case, he's not coming back out for the ninth, I don't think. So, like in that case, he wouldn't have been the closer. But, you know, to close that inning, he's their most trusted guy. And if there's a spot in the seventh, eighth, or ninth, certainly in the eighth or ninth, he's the guy.
Well, he's done a good job this week with a couple of saves. Scott, we appreciate you hopping on. Good luck with the power. I'm in the same boat at
appreciate
home.
Appreciate you.
So hopefully that gets back on soon. Yeah.
Same to everybody. I know there's a lot of people without it.
There really is. Scott, thank you, Scott. We'll be listening this weekend.
All right.
There he goes. Scott Fransky there. How about Scott Fransky going into a parking lot to get on the phone with us?
I appreciate that. That's dedication.
It is dedication to the show. I mean, he had to get your answers for you about Castellanos.
Yeah, I mean, I think he told us a lot without saying a whole lot. Too.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it was a lot.
Well, I think the thing that I took the most out of that conversation was he strongly believes that Topper's going to go back to doing it again. Now, the question is, when and where and why and how. Like, when is the spot the next time to take Castellanos off the field for defense? And now, does Nick handle it better? The same? Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll find out.
Yeah, and it also, and I'm recklessly speculating
here. That's what
you do. It also sounds like there was a conversation about him coming off the field, and he didn't like that.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, it became a thing, and now he wants to see. He wants to see where, you know, he's failing. And the fact that his significant other was sending out mean and hurtful tweets. So, yeah, that kind of, you know, gives you a little idea of what probably was going on at the home.
Yeah, as much as, and I know Scott was saying there, he thinks players deep. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. This is not the same thing, but it's close. Did you?
Yeah.
You knew?
Yeah.
But.
Because I just.
Do you think you knew right away, or do you think you were a. Like,
no, I knew.
Okay.
I knew.
You knew you started to lose a step.
Well, my bounce back, like, you know, I remember waking up in the morning. I was in training camp, and I felt worse than I did when I went to sleep.
Oh, boy.
And I remember, I'll never forget, I remember telling Trey, I was like, dog, I don't think I can do this no more. And he was like, oh, man, ain't nobody trying to. Like, he was like, oh, man, come on, man, suck it up. I was like, nah, dog, this is different. I was like, because you wake up and you're stoked about going to practice. You know what I mean? You're not really stoked, but, you know, you do a little running and
right.
You work yourself out. But then, man, after a while, I was just like, man, I don't think I'm going to make it.
So now you were at the end, right? That was the end?
Yeah, that was the end.
So I always wonder this. And I was trying to ask Scott the question, and he framed it as he thinks players know when they start to lose a step, lose some bat speed. But I also think there's an arrogance to great athletes, right? Your whole life, you could figure
You've
it out.
That's what I'm talking about, Joe. But I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it was just it was one of those things where I was doing some of the same things. I was working out the same way, but my body just didn't respond the way that it used to.
So I always wonder if a team knows before the player, and then it's a matter of trying to like who's going to tell him. Or is he going to figure it out, like.
They watch things like that.
Of course.
You got to have an eye for that because it's one of those things when you have to know what you're looking at.
My thing is this week, right? I don't think the Phillies took Castellanos off the field because they thought last week his defense started to slip. They mm-hmm. probably thought this the whole year, right?
Yeah, they were. There probably was some signs to them
yes.
that it was, you know, this was only a matter of time before it happened.
And my gut tells me Nick doesn't feel it's as egregious as their numbers tell them and maybe their eyes tell them, and that's the disconnect. Like, you think this is a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal.
And that's why when we were kidding, it's because it's mostly funny, when his wife tweeted that he set a record for most games without an error, it's
that's pillow talk.
It speaks to I'm sure-handed. Like, and Nick is sure-handed. He usually, when he can get to it, he catches it. The problem is he didn't get to it as much as, you know, Marsh or
and Rojas. Shout out to his wife for, you know, having his back, because that's basically what that was. You know, when she's sending out tweets and stuff, she hears him talking. I'm speculating again, everybody. I don't know this for sure. And she sees how frustrated he is, and she goes into protection mode.
Yeah.
And she's trying to protect him. So, I mean, I get that. I totally get that.
So Scott also mentioned us. He didn't completely rule out when you asked about Bryce Harper. He said he doesn't think so. But he also said at the end there he thought that Houston is more likely than this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Houston's the next series.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but it also tells me this could be close, right? If
Scott, so you might see him Sunday?
Well,
I think you might see him Sunday.
Maybe. That's the ESPN Sunday night game. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, Bryce likes to make an entrance. All right, 215-592-9494. The Phillies. Can they make you a full believer this weekend by beating the Mets? I thought it was interesting that Scott said they could do more harm than good this weekend. Right? Like, they do good, we feel good, but they got to keep going. They do bad, it's, you know, we sound the alarms on Monday. I think he's probably right on that. All right, your phone call's there. We have a pair of tickets. Phillies-Padres. Tuesday, July 1st. 6:30 first pitch at Citizens Bank Park. We're going to be there. Come hang out with us and watch the game. Xfinity fireworks show after the game that night. For tickets, Phillies.com. We got a pair today. Try Day Friday. Fun things to do when the power is out. Family-friendly answers, please.
I'm looking at a three.
Family-friendly answers, please. All right, let's.
And slather Vaseline on
that
me.
Right there, probably. Yes. That dog probably won't.
Yeah, and of course, we have the unveil today of the top three athletes in Philadelphia right now. I have a sneaking suspicion that Jalen Hurts is going to be one or two, and I just don't get it. I mean, I guess the best way I could frame it without without getting upset here, is I just don't get it. Hugh tried to give us a Rocky analogy earlier.
Tried to. Y'all didn't get it, man.
No,
y'all just don't get it. And y'all live here.
I think
y'all
you're. I think you're underrated. Life. I think you're underrating Jalen Hurts now.
I'm not.
You are.
I'm just telling you how people see him and think about him.
But
and
then
him
I think people need to wake up.
He's just not, made up some whole story about how no one ever believed in him.
He's not Rocky.
I mean, I
he's a Heisman Trophy candidate.
I think I did a pretty good job of
you spawn a web
story
of lies.
I know it was
a joke. I think I did a pretty good
you're
job.
You're lucky I even graced you with the Rocky music for that.
I think
nonsense
that people felt that when I did that. I feel like people were with
me. We'll get to what you people comment on
that. I feel like
that
resonated with folks.
Yep.
He's too good to be compared to Rocky.
I feel like it resonated.
I actually think I think you're slighting him.
Yeah,
when
that's
you
not at all.
I'm trying to get you inside the way that you people feel.
Rocky was nobody.
we'll get to how you people feel.
Rocky was a charity case that Apollo just wanted to have to beat someone up, a tomato can.
It's Friday.
It is Friday. I know it's Friday.
No, I'm just saying, you people. He was talking about the you people.
Oh, well, I'm still on the Rocky thing. All right, Mario's up. What's up, Mario? Mario?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, what's up, Mario?
What's up, Mario?
Hello?
Hello.
Yo, my bad, man.
That's all right.
Hair. I'm at the barber
shop. I thought that. I heard the buzzer. I heard the buzzer.
What's going on? Hey, I just want to comment on the tri deck.
Okay. All right. What do you got?
What I got is sitting around with your kids, get them marshmallows, make some s'mores, and just talk and enjoy the family and tell stories and talk. And the story I tell my kids is how Elliot cooked Joe the other day.
Oh,
wow. So tall tales.
You know, I got to tell you, I was going to say that was the best answer we got today until that last jab at the end, Mario.
Yo, don't hate on me on that. I'm trying to come and kick it with y'all, man.
Mario, I like the answer. And you know what? When I get home today, if the power's not out and it's getting dark,
make them s'mores.
We got the fire pit in the backyard. A little, you know, we make the fire. I like that.
Grab some matches and just get it cooking.
I'll make some s'mores.
That's like Elliot cooked you.
Well, again, I like this answer before all that. All right, Mario, you believe in the Phillies? Do they make you a believer this weekend?
I've been a believer. I ain't never doubt on them boys, yo. I've been a believer. We good. We just got to relax. We good. We got this.
Well, we
got
to beat the Mets because I'm
gotta
tired.
We're going to beat the Mets.
Well, Mary, I'm taking your word for it.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Yo, man, what's good, man? You know what I mean? Yo, you need to come to the barbershop. Let me fade that beard.
Man, I ain't got no hair. No, I mean,
I'm going to fade that beard out for you.
I appreciate it. I'm trying to let it grow, though, but I ain't got no hair. But I mean, I'll probably take
it. The hair grow or the beard?
No, I'm just letting the beard grow.
Before I get off this phone, man, I really appreciate y'all, man, to the end, man. Y'all get a lot of people through their day. And y'all get me through my day every day, man. I love listening to y'all, man. It's all in fun and games with me talking junk to you, Joe. But Elliot cooked you, though. But I love y'all, though.
All right. Mary, I appreciate your call. We're happy to have you as a listener. And
thanks
I disagree
a lot, man.
With the
appreciate
cook.
You listening.
And it is a good. And we're going to remove the cooking me from it. But the marshmallows, you think he cooked because you agree with him. I mean, that's the way these debates go. Whoever you agree with.
Yeah,
that's who did the cooking.
It lit Twitter up yesterday. They were talking about it. People still talking about that.
That's good. I mean, that's what people
do. You know, rent free in people's heads.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, whatever. They react to the show and they talk about it and they send it around. They say, "Here, watch this video. Elliot cooked Joe." I mean, that's fun. So I'm glad they did that. But it is a good answer. I do like the fire pit with the marshmallows. You have a fire pit? Have you ever had a fire pit?
I've been to one. I don't like s'mores though.
What do you mean you don't
like burning marshmallows and chocolate?
Who doesn't like s'mores, man?
Delicious.
That's crazy.
What do you do you like chocolate?
I do like chocolate. I don't like chocolate with graham crackers and marshmallows, though.
Do you like all three things individually?
That's a wild take.
I'm not a big fan of marshmallows.
Okay. All right.
I like graham crackers, though.
You don't have to have marshmallows.
I don't like them. Don't like them. Meh.
If we were hanging out by a fire pit, you wouldn't make a s'more?
Mm-mm. Not a s'more. Not a s'more either.
More s'mores for me.
Yeah, all right. You got to go for it.
Kiva in North Philly. Hey, Kiva.
Kiva.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Kiva, what's up?
I'm pretty upset because Mario just took my answer.
Oh, no.
So I'll have to think of something else.
Okay,
but,
you can do it.
You got time.
I'll think about it. But, I'm going to the game tonight and Sunday. Got wheels on the mound. We're facing Blade Tidwell. So I don't know anything about him, but I feel like tonight it is like a must win because we can't waste another Wheeler start. And, you know, with the way Jesus has been going, I'm not super confident. Like, I'm confident, but you know, it's a bit of a toss-up with him these days. So.
Yeah, I agree with you on tonight. I mean, obviously they have the next two games if they do drop tonight, but they have an enormous pitching matchup. Kiva, they've had pitching issues. So I think they just called this kid up from AAA. I think he made one appearance. I mean, we got Wheeler against a guy that just got to the big leagues. We got to get this game. And then the next two games, it feels like more of a toss-up, like just the pitching matchup. So let's get tonight. I agree with you. It's a must-win. And then even if we split the next two, we got ourselves a series win here.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then one comment on the list. Mm-hmm. I got to say, I think I agree with you. You know, you got to, like, think about the way people in Philly – view their athletes, because, you know, it's not necessarily the top 11 best, like, most talented athletes, like, in my opinion. I feel like it's more like the top Philly athletes, like, how they, you know, what they've done for the city and all that. Like, I mean, Nick Foles got a statue, and we don't think Nick Foles is, like, one of the greatest quarterbacks, you know? So I think that's kind of where, like, because I don't think Jalen Hurts is top three, but it is in my own opinion, but I understand where people are coming from, because it's like, you know, he's Jalen Hurts. He squats 600 pounds or whatever. He kind of just, like, embodies the city. So I feel like that, you know, they love their quarterbacks. So,
well, I understand that. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, almost like what he helped bring the team, that and what the doubts all. I get it, Keith. I understand. What did you, you had a little time to try to think there while you gave your takes. What should we do with the power out?
All right, I'll fast forward a few weeks when Jack Fritz's book comes out. I'll read that, light a little candle and read it in the dark.
I actually have a book.
Oh, Jack Fritz, his book come out in a couple weeks?
Yeah, you know what? And Keeve, I'm glad you brought that up. Keeve, we appreciate it. Read Jack's book. I pre-ordered that thing.
And what happened?
Well, I thought I was told June. It's June 20th, and I keep looking in the mail every day.
You ain't got your book yet.
The Ring the Bell book. I don't have it yet. So I'm like, yeah, that's a good one. And I'm going on vacation in a couple weeks. I got a long flight.
You wanted to read it.
Well, I thought I'd have my book for my flight. That was part of my plan. And now I may need a backup book here. 215-592-9494. All right, Kiva said read Jack Fritz's book in the dark. You need a light. I do have a book light, though. I have, like, a battery-powered book light, so I can do that.
That's funny. Read it in the dark.
I never thought.
Will it be available in audiobook form?
Do you think he would voice his own book? Well, I mean, no. The guy's a radio host. You would, like, who else would
You'd
they get?
Think, right?
I mean, why would they get someone else to do it? He'd just do it himself.
So is he going to, I'm curious, is he going to do, like, a signing, a book signing? I would think so,
He's
right?
He's doing, I heard something on WIP the other day, right before one of Joe Conklin's shows coming up in July.
That's cool.
I think in Ocean City.
Who else
City?
Writing a book?
The camera?
Camera's writing a book.
The camera's got a children's book. Yeah, books everywhere around here at WIP. All right, 215-592-9494 for your phone calls here. This weekend series, can the Phillies make you a full and true believer? For me, that's where they're at. If they win this weekend and play well this weekend, I'm in. And I haven't been fully in the entire season. All right, on the Castellanos thing, something he recently did that I found interesting, and I wonder what will come of it. We'll hit on that next. Your phone calls. And Jalen Hurts, he's going to be a top three athlete today. I don't get it if he's one or two. And I know everyone has different criteria. For me, it's just excellence as a player. And I don't think he's as excellent as Saquon or as excellent as Zach Wheeler. 215-592-949 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This is the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Today's show brought to you by Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. It was hopping earlier today before that soccer match or whatever.
Yeah.
They don't call a game, right? They call a match.
It's on the pitch.
On the pitch.
Yeah.
Big game's always better with crab fries. Online at chickiesandpeets.com, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. If you're going to the game tonight, of course, you can stop by Chickies beforehand. Speaking of the game tonight, Fritz, let's do it.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
Before The series starts by who'd you rather have a shortstop, Lindor or Trey?
Lindor.
Interesting. Yeah. Says a lot. Says a lot.
Says you have a 2020 vision.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy's awesome. Come on, man.
Yeah.
He's awesome. We'd love to have him. But I'm remember, I had Trey on my top 11 and you didn't.
No, I did, though.
That's true.
But you changed it.
What was the final list?
A good game.
What was the final list?
Even was the final.
My final list had Trey on it.
Well, right. But you changed it midweek.
Are you going to do your top 11 New York athletes?
No, I'm not going to. What are we doing
here?
You
should. That'd be funny.
Top 11 New York athletes?
Yeah.
But I only like a couple of them.
Would Jack Hughes on the Jersey Devils count? Does that count because it's Jersey?
Nobody in New York cheers for the Devils.
What about an Islander?
That would count, but I don't like any Islanders.
What about a Brooklyn Net?
I don't think I like any Brooklyn Nets either.
I'd say, who the hell is on the Brooklyn Nets?
Cam Johnson?
I do like Cam Johnson, actually, now that we're being honest.
I do want him to be a Sixer.
I would love for him to be a Sixer.
At some point. Player. So, no Bryce officially tonight.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
No Bryce in the lineup. Otto Kemp, right?
You got closer.
Okay. So, Otto Kemp is at first base. Otto, by the way, whatever. Hit the ball to the wall last night. That was a good sign.
He also watched it.
He did?
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
It could have been a moment for old Otto.
It would have been his first one, but I'm saying, brother, make sure it's over the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't been up here that long to be staring at
And always remember, you're just a Division II guy. Like me.
Well, yeah, if you keep that in mind, then he won't. Yeah, I mean, he'll stay motivated.
For real, though, and he's been a little jolt of energy since he's been up here. Yeah. But like, he was hitting a bunch of home runs in AAA, right? Like, where's the power? And it's not even like... Even in the games where he has a bunch of hits, I don't see him putting jolts into balls or anything. Like, what do you think's going on?
Well, I mean, so I think he has minor league power. I mean, the thing about Kemp is he's not the biggest guy in the world. Like, yeah. I think I don't think he'll ever be a 20 home run guy in the big leagues.
Okay.
I think he's like a 15. Well, what do you want?
We kill a guy who plays third base and doesn't hit home runs, but we get so excited for the other guy, this guy's not going to hit home runs either.
One's not 6'5". Otto Kemp,
which actually works against him.
Against who, Boom?
Yes.
In what?
Being 6'5", it's harder for him to get those long ass arms around swinging.
Mm. What about Judge and Stanton and all the other 6'5"?
Doesn't mean that it's an advantage. They're also big guys.
But it does help you have leverage to drive the baseball.
I'm not saying that it doesn't, but the guy's never been a home run hitter. I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm disappointed about the Otto.
I'm just telling you, Otto. You had me thinking Otto was a power hitter.
Yeah, I thought we were getting Darren Ruff up here.
Yeah,
Babe Ruff.
No, I think you're looking for a good like 280, 15 to 20 home runs, and plays a bunch of positions. I think that's the Otto Kemp can play first, can maybe play second. If Stott's slowly kind of heating up a little bit, can fill in at third, and now he's going to play left field because Weston Wilson got sent down.
What happens if we have nothing but players like that?
Well, if you think, like, Otto Kemp was never going to be an all-star.
He's not one of the real guys.
No, that's not what I'm saying. My only point is that then where is the guy that comes up that hits all the home runs?
Right.
Because Crawford doesn't hit home runs. Aiden Miller doesn't hit home runs. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, all of our guys hit 15 to 20 home runs.
I know.
And we can't trade any of them.
Maybe. I will say.
That's all I was saying. Yeah. I was like, do we have a power hitter down there?
I do. Well, the one guy
might. What
about
Rincones?
Yeah, he's probably he projects to be a 20-25 home run guy.
You know, Bryce is headed to being a 15 or 21.
But 25.
I'm like, yeah, he's heading that way.
Well, that's the thing is that if you want to break down Keaton Anthony, I'll break down Keaton Anthony. He's the first baseman for the Iron Pigs right now.
Okay.
But again, he has nowhere to play because he's just a first baseman. And he's more of a pure hitter as well. Phil's got pure hitters all over the... Yeah, we don't need a 35 home run guy.
It's
a bunch of solid... One through nine, tough to get out type of lineup.
I think I just stumbled on how I'm going to make Jack crazy next year is with Bryce Boehm.
Yeah, no, you can do it. You can do it. You'll need a new producer, but you can do it all you want. But I will say, so the how they've been playing recently, I know we've been doing the how much do you want to invest in this team versus not invest in this team. I'm having a tougher and tougher time, like not wanting to just go for it.
Ah,
yeah.
It's because, like, dude, I keep looking at the starting staff, and I actually think we've
somehow underappreciated how dominant they are. I mean, look at what Sanchez did last night. That's 8 innings. He could easily go on 9.
He was awesome last night.
And he's looking closer and closer to last year, and he's looking closer and closer to the guy that everyone thought could be a Cy Young contender. Like, he's reached that. Suarez is pitching to a 1.18 since May 10th. He looks phenomenal.
Wheeler's Wheeler.
Lizardo, last start wasn't great, but has shown signs of being great. Abel, we'll see. Knowles, no?
No, huh? I agree with you.
Knowles?
You just...
Knowles, man. We don't even know what he is right now.
On the 60-day IL now, yes. So he's officially donezo for a little bit.
You can't... If you have a baseball team with this starting staff, you have to go for it. You just have to. It guarantees you, like, 85 wins off the bat, I think, with a starting staff like this. You know, already you're 500 or just over 500. Like, I just don't think the difference between them and any other team in baseball is that drastic where I wouldn't go for it. I just don't. You could say the Dodgers. Dodgers have had so many injury issues from a pitching perspective that I just think it would be criminal to not go for it this year. I think it would be. And who knows what these guys are next year.
Right.
You know what I mean? Who knows who's even here?
Exactly.
Ranger might not be here. Schwarber might not be here. Yada, yada,
JT
yada.
JT might not be here.
Right. Just go for it.
Ranger or Schwarber?
If you can only pay one?
Yep.
God. I don't like that question. I got to see the rest of Ranger. I got to see Ranger the rest
like
of the year.
I don't like the question. Guess what? It's just
I think Dave Dombrowski's like, yeah, I don't like this. I don't like this decision.
Well, at least he's got 2.5 months to see if Suarez can hold up.
That is a big question if Suarez holds up.
Yep.
If Ranger holds
up.
Well,
and the price goes up.
Well, but then you feel better about spending on him. You know what I mean?
We just gave 170 away, didn't we? The NOLA, what did we give him?
Well, yeah, that was
on a down year. And he had a semi-good postseason. We're like, you know what? There he is.
I just think a great starting pitcher is worth a lot more to me than a great DH or a good DH. Schwarber is a good DH. Not great. Good.
Oh.
Right?
For DH standards, he's pretty...
Yeah, he's pretty damn good.
He's good.
It's like Devers, him,
yeah.
Otani for now, but he's a pitcher.
Well, he's not a pitcher. He's in the same category as Schwarber, yep. Which is why he's going to be a DH in the All-Star game.
I just want to point, this is going to be one of my new bits with the Phils.
Yeah.
It might take a while to get there, but I don't care.
Okay.
Orion Kerkering's 122 saves away from passing Jonathan Papelbon. We got to take Papelbon off the record
list. You're going to have to chase Rob Thompson out of town.
Yeah,
because
seriously.
The day after you named him the closer, they put him in the eighth inning.
It was situational.
Okay.
Situational. Went right back to him last night. As long as starter goes 8.
Oh, yeah, which got the should 9. Happen all the time.
Kerkering got the 9th.
Yeah.
And then game tonight is on Apple TV. All games are on national TV, but Apple TV tonight. And a nice part about Apple TV.
You can sync it up to WIP.
You can sync it right up with Fransky.
Or if you don't have Apple TV, because you're like, enough already, stop charging me $8 more for another TV service, which I would be completely normal. You can just listen to the game on WIP, and Fransky will tell you exactly what's happening. That's his job.
That is his job.
You know what I mean? That's his job.
Yep. Way to go.
Do we know if Tasty Cake is ready or not?
Tasty Cake's good, yeah.
Okay. 215-592-9494. Tasty Cake, Dom, you're on WIP.
Yep. Spike, they don't have Apple TV in a rehab, so I'll be listening.
Idiots. Well, yeah. You can do it on your phone if you wanted to. But
I'll just listen.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
One thing, list week was tremendous.
Oh, thank
you. And
you're
right. It sparked conversation everywhere. All week long. It was absolutely spectacular.
Glad you enjoyed it.
That was great.
Yeah, it will definitely be coming back next week, much to the chagrin of 66% of the Twitter voters.
Real quick, on yesterday's list, real quick, I thought Jack did a great job with his list. Jack, I'd have had to work Eddie Jordan in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. See, Jack didn't feel Eddie Jordan the way you and I did. So Jack, for his top 11, did the worst of the last 25 years. So it was players and managers and coaches and all
Eddie
that.
Jordan didn't make the list?
No, because
I just don't like remember the Eddie Jordan thing.
Okay. Yeah, so,
it wasn't memorable.
So that was what?
Remember that mess.
Was that 08?
Yeah, it was like 08.
So,
yeah.
There's so many bad things about that year. But him, benching Elton Brand for some reason, and, it was somewhere on the internet. That was when I first started writing about the Sixers, because they gave me a press pass for some reason for every game. And I just started writing up every game. And sometimes I go back and I read through it. What a disaster Eddie Jordan
was. Well, one thing I remember about Eddie Jordan.
Princeton offense.
The one thing I remember about him, and he said he doesn't need a true point guard to run it.
No, no, it does not.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Spike, I hear the word Princeton now, I get a rap.
Yep. Yeah, he was terrible, man. Yep. He really was.
Spike, I had a call in. Now, I was enjoying the show, but I had a call in because this is such a great day for me. I have such a long history with Ike, and Jack's my buddy. But you and I had a moment today, Spike, because I'm so honored that you quoted me to win your argument with Elliot that I feel so honored that it made my day.
I can't remember. What did I quote you on?
Because the exact argument you used to win the step over amount is word for word what I said to you about the Landsberger move 2 weeks ago. Word for word. You just took out Landsberger and put in step over.
Oh, you're talking about the Dr. J thing.
National TV, historic move. And by the way, Spike, they showed that Landsberger move on the finals this week. They didn't show no step over.
Well, there you go. Well, then we might have to reconsider that then. Then that is a fair point.
I oversold it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well.
They're still showing it, and that's 1981.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. You're right. I'm wrong.
But no, it was a plus thing because you used my argument against Elliot and you stomped him.
Well, that's what you got to do. We got to you got to take little bits of different arguments, file them away in your brain for when you need them in the future.
You want a debate today, Spike, and I want a debate because they took a cheap shot on the midday show, so I had to call in and slap them around a little bit.
Uh-oh, cheap shot against who, us?
They're trying to win a football argument. To win a football argument that Kyle said, you act like Jalen Hurts is Tobias Harris.
Oh.
What a cheap shot. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Oh.
Jeez, like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, tasty cake.
Yep.
Toby doesn't play here anymore.
Yeah, Ike's out on the Toby side.
Ike, my point exactly. The guy's been gone for a year and you're still kicking him. Come on.
Seriously.
All right, Tasty Cake.
All right, brother.
All right, love you guys.
Thank you for the call.
Brother.
Man.
Yeah. I like Toby when he was here.
Yeah, but it's
I'm following Toby everywhere.
Right. You're letting that go.
Yes, that's sometimes you got to be like, hey, enough is enough.
Letting bygones
be
bygones.
Here's your chance to get off the train.
Yep, it is a mutual divorce.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those ones you guys figured it out in 2 weeks. You both use the same lawyer. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's good. He's happy in Detroit. You're happy
I'm
here.
I'm good, yes. Yes, we move on.
So real quick, here is the staff top 11 list.
Ah, okay.
As we have not revealed that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11, Zach Bond. So Zach Bond
does make the staff list.
Did make the staff list.
At 11, barely.
Barely. Number 10, Joel Embiid. So he did make the staff list as well.
Yep.
Embiid was 11 audience and 10 staff. Mm-hmm. 9, Jordan Mailata. 8, Kyle Schwarber. 7, Jalen Carter. 6, Lane Johnson. 5, A.J. Brown. 4, Bryce Harper. So Bryce was number... Oh, yeah. Bryce was 4 on the big list as well. 3, Jalen Hurts. 2, Zach Wheeler, and number 1, Saquon Barkley.
So we had Wheeler a little higher.
Yeah, the staff had Wheeler at 2, and the listeners had Wheeler at 3. And then final, just because of the weighted scoring, Wheeler ends up at 3. So there it is. Not making the staff list, Devontae Smith, Quinyon Mitchell, Tyrese Maxey, Cooper DeJean. There you go. 215-592-9494. Kenny from the Dirty 30, reportedly. You're on WIP. What's up, Kenny?
Actually, reportedly, hypothetically, whichever adjective
for
the day.
Yeah.
Guys, I apologize. I called yesterday. I was on hold, and I don't mind waiting on hold. But then all of a sudden, Armageddon hit yesterday, and I don't know how many people's neighborhoods got, but I had to hang up because I almost got hit by a tree.
Yeah, dude, that storm, Jack lost me for about 20 minutes where all I was doing was staring out the window thinking about my basement.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So,
Mother Nature every now and then reminds us who's in charge here, and it sure the hell ain't us.
No, it is not. That's for sure. My biggest Mother Nature reminder was my 1 year at University of Southern California where there was an earthquake, and I realized that there's no warning, there's nowhere you can go, and the literal earth is shaking so much that buildings are falling. And I said, you know what? I don't need to live here. I don't need to be here anymore. And I left. What's up, Ken?
I got, I wasn't going to talk about that, but when that earthquake hit North Jersey about 15 years ago, I was in the IKEA up there by the Newark Airport.
Mm-hmm.
And the last place you want to be in a panic is in IKEA, because that place is a maze and people were screaming because they couldn't figure out how to get out of there.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, I was on the air at YSP at the time, and I knew I was losing my job at the time. So I thought normally I would just stay on the air, but I went into the staircase. I was like, I'm out of here. They're not paying me in 2 weeks anyway. What difference does it make?
East Coasters aren't used to that. Anyway,
no.
So I've been reluctant to call because I know you guys are going to yell at me about my my top 11. Here's the thing. Flyers aren't ready yet.
Yep.
Any Sixer that was signed by this current administration has the heart of a hummingbird and the brain of a earthworm.
Yep.
And that includes Embiid. He's a playoff loser. I can't put him on my list. And Jack, you're going to kill me for this, but any baseball player is at least number nine for me, because
the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Well, no, not that so much the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Zach Wheeler, as great as he is, he only plays 20% of the games. He can't be any higher to me than nine.
Yeah, well, you can evaluate players differently at the same time.
But you do understand, hold on the Zach Wheeler thing, because I hear this a lot. They only play one out of every five games, and it's true. But a everyday player only bats four times out of an entire game. So most of the game, an everyday player has no effect on the game whatsoever. When a starting pitcher is in there, they have an effect on every at-bat. Like, a starting pitcher is the only player in all of baseball who can basically win a game for you single-handedly. So I know that they only play one out of every five games, but their effect on those games are far more than an everyday player in baseball.
Ah, and that's my argument about quarterbacks. Even above average quarterback has more effect on a football game than any other position there, which is why my quarterback gets a lot more consideration on our list. So that's why I had Jalen Hurts in my top three.
Okay,
but all the rest are Eagles. I'm not going to go into it, but I had eight Eagles and three Phillies. And quite frankly, Kyle Schwarber, that guy's a warrior. I don't care what sport he plays, the way he plays the game, his attitude, the way people respond to him.
Okay. Yep. So wait a minute. So Zach Wheeler only plays 20% of the games, but Kyle Schwarber, who does not play in the field, who literally is playing in any given 2.5 hour baseball game, is playing for like 6 minutes. He is in your he's a warrior?
Mm-hmm.
He is a warrior. Okay. He's also number 10.
What's a warrior? What are we...
I like it.
Oh, come on. Listen, Ike, you play with guys in the locker room.
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yep.
They might not be the most talented, but...
They might not even play most of the game?
They're really starting to go after Ike Reese now.
Sitting right next to you, man. And,
I don't know if this is a compliment or an insult. I don't know where we're going with this.
Come on.
Well, I know you mean it as a compliment, but Jack will turn it into an insult.
No.
What was your favorite Ike Reese play?
My favorite Ike Reese moment?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to love this.
Oh, he's got one.
You and John Runyon are sitting next to each other at a Miss WIP contest at Chickies and Pete's in the parking lot, and I was right behind you, and we laughed that entire time. And, Ike, you're a funny dude. Most people don't realize it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
A bit of a cop out.
Yeah, let's leave that one right there.
Yeah. That was a cop out. It was definitely a cop out. I love Kyle Schwarber, but
there's been a lot, and I love Schwarber too. It feels like it's been a lot of
he's a warrior.
Inflated on.
Dude, stop it.
It's a little inflated.
It's a little.
No, not you.
Okay.
You.
Oh, here we go. What did I do now?
Well, it's because of the Bryce thing.
Well, it's been a tough week for me.
People are putting him over Bryce.
Which is ridiculous.
That's right.
Yes.
Now, this is the guy, Spike, that wanted us to give Schwarber an extension before the season even started. He was so worried and concerned.
Still am?
Yeah.
But now that the Bryce Schwarber thing is happening, you're like, hold on.
It shouldn't be happening. So, like, I can do both. I can think it's ridiculous, and I want him extended. And it's the Wheeler thing. It's been I hate top 11. Like, I don't think we should do it next year. Like, if Wheeler is not in someone's top five, dead to me, for all I care.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, can I ask this?
Yeah, depends.
I love the fact that both of you, get a little irritated if Wheeler's lower than four. Like
lower than three.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Lower than three. I'm glad you admitted that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get a little tight.
So I'm thinking maybe you guys just have a higher opinion of pitching.
Maybe.
Right?
Well,
like the baseball fan in me, I like pitching. I'm going to always have more, I'm going to lean towards the everyday player more than I am the pitcher.
But
as a guy that I want more.
I think, but I think if we had done this list 15 years ago or whatever, I think Roy Halladay would have been top three.
Well, that's how good you have to be.
Yeah.
See, but you guys wanted to put him in Roy's class. I don't think he's anywhere. I haven't felt that
Willard. I don't think his peak is Roy, but I think Roy's peak is higher.
Yeah.
But Roy didn't, Halladay didn't, do,
didn't
it
do it
for
it
this amount of time.
Right.
I think, I think Wheeler is hurt by the fact that they haven't won.
Like, give me a Wheeler moment. Give me the biggest moment Wheeler has had.
Well,
the stick that everybody should have. And that's not a knock on. I'm just, from the fan perspective, we're talking about moments, right? So part of it is, what moment is he remembered for?
Well, so I think it's easy for Halladay because he has the no-hitter and the perfect game.
Exactly.
It's more just like what he's done. Like I would say 7 innings against the Mets last year, shutout. Like, that's impressive.
Right.
I could give all the...
It's not that impressive.
But it is. I mean...
7 innings of shutout baseball?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a guy who was giving me complete games every time he went out there to start.
I know. Yeah, for one postseason.
I know. All I'm saying is I think... Like Hamels. I think Hamels would be... If we were to make this list when Hamels was in his prime...
Yeah.
He would be higher on the list.
Well, but he was pretty polarizing. A lot of people hated Hamels. Nobody hates Wheeler.
The voice.
Yeah. I think Wheeler is just like, I admire, he is a rock. Like, he's just so steady and good. I agree with you. There's no big moment we all remember.
You guys convinced me. So you got me to actually make sure I had him up higher on my list.
It's just amazing that every time he pitches, I just assume it's going to be 7 innings and 1 run. And it mostly seems like it is.
Yeah.
You know?
And,
so,
I mean, and his postseason ERA, it's not a small sample size. I mean, and I know it was only one start last year, but it's like 2.13. And he's at the lowest postseason whip in the history of baseball, and that includes Mariano Rivera. So, like, it's more totality of what he's done, I think, in those moments than singular moment.
Yeah, there's no big flashy
moment. And he's probably going to finish... He's going to finish second in NL Cy Young voting for the third time.
Again, yeah.
So he's going to be the guy that we talk about when his career is over. We didn't appreciate him enough while he was...
Yeah, but I feel like now he's starting to get appreciated. I think last year I didn't feel it, but this year... Like, the fact that he's top four, but last year I think... Was he on the list, or was he just on the back end of the list?
I think he made the list last year, right?
I think he made the list, yeah. I'll look.
But he certainly wasn't top four.
I saw Ranger on the list and Nola on the list.
Yes. I had Nola.
So then I would say Wheeler probably made it.
Yeah. Well,
I think Nola made the official list.
The other thing that will happen with Wheeler, one would hope, is as long as he doesn't get injured, and if he does retire when he says he's going to, he's going to retire a Philly, and that will, I think, also make us, you know, appreciate the fact that there's still
already forgotten about his Mets career.
Yeah, there's still something a little transplanty about him to me here, but he's going to eventually retire a Philly who will have pitched more years for the Phillies than anybody else, and he will be a Philly.
Yep. You know,
coming up next. So Jack has had the belt for 2 straight weeks.
That's right.
Bull.
Arguably should be 3.
He has done nothing to keep it.
Oh, yeah.
But I
cooked Elliot.
Well, I don't think you cooked Elliot. Well,
cooked Elliot.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel good about my chances this week.
You do?
I do.
Well, you got to work the whole week.
But Jolly worked one day a week.
Well, that's a good point.
All right.
Jolly barely works.
Different criteria.
Yeah, bro.
And Al.
Broad's got it. Al, yeah. Al works for like 5 minutes. He's barely working when he's working.
By the way.
Yeah. That was
good. I heard Spike say this yesterday.
What happened?
You talk a lot more when I'm not here.
Of course. Well, what do you talk like in a like? What do you mean? Of course, I talk more. Or like the word trash.
You just talk a lot more.
Yeah.
In a not positive way.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Just sit there?
No. I'm just agreeing with Spike.
Yeah.
Well, of course I talk more.
Just
got to
control you a little bit more when Ike's not here.
Well, when Spike said it, it wasn't just because I'm not here. I mean, you're just sitting here at the mic. I heard what he said and why he said it.
Said what?
When I said that you talked a lot
maybe
more?
Maybe he didn't get it.
Yeah. I forget what the situation was, but there was somewhere where you were, when you do your little Jack thing and do it a lot more. It's like Fridays.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Chickie's days.
Sure.
Almost.
Yeah. I'm busy back here.
Yeah, of course. Well, we will find out if Jack keeps the belt or somebody takes it from him next.
And Robbie.
And Robbie E. defending. He had Jalen number one. So
we got to argue with him about that.
Yeah, a little bit, little bit.
Robbie fired up a little bit.
Yeah, Robbie E. Joins us next as well. The show today brought to you by Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. We'll be back there next Friday. Big parties, big events, always better at Chickies and Pete's. Book your big party or event at chickiesandpete's.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.